Hello, I'm Orson Welles. We know a remote farm in Walworth where Mrs. Buckley lives. In July, peas grow there. Do you really mean that? I don't understand. We aren't even in the fields yet, you see.
Yes, Mr. Welles, we are.
We're talking about them growing, and she's already picked them, and we have a big bowl of hot peas with warm butter drizzled all over them. That's what we have.
Yes, Mr. Welles, in July, where fields are covered with snow, and Mr. Welles, you need to emphasize the word in.
Why? That doesn't make any sense. I've never heard anyone who would emphasize the word in. There is no known way in the English language where you begin a sentence with the word in and then emphasize it.
Yes, I'm sorry.
Yes, always. I'm already past that. In fact, get me a jury and show me how you can say in July, and I will sing a song for you. That is absolutely idiotic. That is just stupid. Impossible. Meaningless. I'd love to know just how you would emphasize in July.
Then let's change that to every July.
No, you don't really mean every July, do you? Who said that?
I did.
Who the hell are you? What, now I have two directors telling me how to read in July? That's bad copy. Of course, it's every July.
Yes, we should move on to the next commercial.
This is crazy. You don't know what I'm up against. This is quite weary. It is all quite unpleasant. And I thought we had done these spots before. In fact, I distinctly remember recording them before.
You did, Mr. Welles. The sponsor wants fresh takes.
Fresh takes? What on earth for? I'm Orson Welles. I did it right the first time. Why waste my time and their money on such a useless exercise?
I'm not sure. Sales said to just get it done.
Sales. Sales. They are as bad as lawyers. I swear if they could turn a buck, they would shake a tambourine and strum a banjo to make a sale. What do they care if they are wasting my time?
Mr. Welles, we do need to finish these up.
Here, under protest, is Beef Burgers. Hello, I'm Orson Welles. We know a little place in the American Far West where a man named Charlie Briggs, who chops up the finest prairie-fed sirloin beef for burgers. This is a bunch of crap. You know that, don't you?
Yeah?
Can I speak to Mr. Welles?
He's busy.
Yeah, well, so am I. Put him on the phone.
Who is this?
This is Jeanette.
And what's a Jeanette?
Mr. Welles' personal secretary. And what's a Rhonda?
I run this popcorn stand of a recording studio. This is the umpteenth time we've had to pay this guy to record this commercial, and I want it done once and for all.
Whatever. Just put Mr. Welles on the phone. I have important information for him.
I'll tell him you called.
Man, will he be ticked off when he finds out about this? I better get to Kenosha myself to keep this new client pacified until Mr. Welles can get there.
And the WGTD Radio Theater is on the air in this, our 18th season, and winner of 30 awards from the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and from other national organizations. So sit back and enjoy another installment of The Kane Shadow in Hello, I'm Jeanette. Starring our members from the 91.1 Players, The Kane Shadow is created and written by Stephen Brown and Michael Ostrup. And as always, support for the WGTD Radio Theater comes from the Kenosha Law Firm of Aaliyah, Dumay, and McTernan, and the newly remodeled Southwest Kenosha Library, and the Brown Oster Performing Arts Foundation of Salem Lakes, Wisconsin. And now, The Kane Shadow.
Good morning. This is Lenore, personal assistant to the personal assistant of Orson Welles. How may I help you?
Lenore, come to my office right away. We have a lot of work to do. Quick-like.
Oh, I'll be right there. Anything specific I should bring with me? I mean, I always bring a paper and a pen. Actually, I bring two, just in case the first one dries up. After all, you just don't know, do you? But I want to make sure. It sounds like there's a lot you need done. I just want to get on top of it right away, and if there's any way I can do...
Just get in here.
Here I am, and with my two pens. Like I said, you can never be too sure.
Listen, I gotta go to Kenosha. Some babe named Rhonda is keeping Mr. Wells trapped in the recording studio in Chicago. And there's a potential client in Kenosha who says she has important information about that nun who was found dead in Lake Michigan near the Kempis Center.
Ooh, Mr. Wells sure does love a mystery. I mean, who doesn't? And that Kemper Center sure has plenty of them. Of course, Delavan has plenty, too. Did you know the city of Delavan is celebrating its 125th birthday? I wonder if Lake Lawn Resort will be doing anything. Mr. Wells sure does like
Lenore.
That place out there. Oh, am I getting chatty again? Well, actually, when don't I get chatty? I mean, well, that's just me. Anyway, I'm just so excited about helping out with this out-of-the-blue trip.
Lenore!
Time to be quiet?
Yes. Anyway, I want to meet this woman with this supposedly newfound information and vet her while Mr. Wells is finishing those commercials.
What's the problem with those commercials? Why can't they get them right? I mean, how many times do they need to redo them?
I guess that's what that Rhonda is there for, to get the commercials done once and for all. What this Rhonda doesn't get is that Brown and Ulstrup use those commercials as some poor excuse of a literary device to get Mr. Wells to Chicago and from there to Kenosha, Salem Lakes, and Delavan.
What do you need?
Okay, I want you to make my reservations, plane, hotel, car, etc. I've got to run home and pack, quick. Get me on the first flight to Chicago. Have a limo pick me up at my house to take me right to LAX.
Right away.
Thank goodness the traffic wasn't bad. I got home, threw a bag together, and just like clockwork, Lenore had that limo waiting for me at the front door. Lenore is a great secretary. I can see why she drives Mr. Wells up a wall with that constant talking. I mean, come on already. But she does do excellent work.
Hello?
Could I speak to Madison Agostini?
That's me.
This is Jeanette, Mr. Olson Wells' personal secretary. We talked earlier.
Oh, I'm so excited. Will Mr. Wells have time to see me while he's in Kenosha?
Yeah, well, tell you what. Be at the Hobnob at 6 p.m. tomorrow for dinner. Ask for Mr. Wells' table.
Oh, I can't wait.
Yeah, me neither. What a loser.
Jeanette, I was just thinking about you.
I can only imagine.
And to what do I owe this enormous pleasure?
Oh, I just thought you'd like to know I'm on my way to Kenosha.
When do you arrive? I'll make sure I'm there to see you.
I'm on my way to the airport now. My flight to Chicago leaves in 90 minutes. With the flight time change, getting to Kenosha, yada yada, it'll be about 11 o'clock tonight.
A little past my bedtime, but I can stay up for you, baby.
Do lines like that really work?
I guess we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see.
What brings you to Kenosha?
Some potential client says she knows something about the Kemper Hall mystery.
And Mr. Wells needs you to assist him here?
Yeah, sort of. He's stuck in Chicago recording some commercials.
Those same commercials?
Yeah.
Oh, brother.
Tell me about it. Anyway, I do know Mr. Wells will want to look into this one.
I take it she's attractive.
Not sure, but I thought I'd keep her busy while Mr. Wells can get up there.
Where will you be staying?
At the Stella.
I'll be waiting for you at the bar.
I know. Later.
This is Lenore, personal assistant to the personal assistant of Orson Welles. How may I help you?
Hi, Lenore. Just checking in.
Oh, I'm not used to that. Mr. Wells never does that.
Tell me about it. So which car rental am I with?
The usual. They have a valet service, in fact. When I see your plane has landed, I'll tell them you're waiting. Just go to the curb, and they'll hand the keys over to you. I sent the address of the hotel to your phone GPS, so just tell your phone where you want to go, and it'll know where to take you. The Stella is all ready for a late arrival. Now, one thing I wasn't sure about. Will you want to, like, dinner or something?
You know what might be nice? Have them have a bottle of chilled champagne, some fresh fruit, some chocolates, and maybe some of those little European cookies.
It'll all be there. Is your flight nice?
Yeah, they're just about to serve the meal. I should sign off for now. Thanks, Lenore. Great work.
Well, that's what I'm here for. I mean, I am the personal assistant to the personal assistant of Orson Welles. Whatever you need to do, whatever you have to do for Mr. Welles is my mission in life. Oh, am I getting chatty? You know, I can just get started and I can't stop.
Sheesh.
Good evening. This is Lenore, personal assistant to the personal assistant of Orson Welles. How may I help you?
Hi, Lenore. Just checking in.
Oh, I'm just not used to that with Mr. Welles. You just surprise me every time.
You know, you can look at the caller ID and see that it's me.
I suppose I could. And I'm supposed to be savvy with technology. Everything working out fine? Did that car rental valet service work out for you?
Yeah, it did. I never heard of that before. Is that a new thing?
Well, sort of. Brown and Ulstrup came up with the idea and thought they would try it out here. I thought it was pretty cool. Just pick up your car right at the terminal's curb. No dealing with the bus or any of that.
I'm surprised the airport allows it.
True. But in Illinois, as long as they can tax it, they're fine with it.
True.
The Stella is all ready for you, and the champagne and nibbles will be in your room.
Thanks, Lenore. I'll talk to you tomorrow morning.
Tomorrow morning? Don't you want to check in when you get to the hotel? I just want to make sure everything is to your liking.
Sorry, Lenore, but I'll be checking in with someone else. So this is the famous Frank's Diner.
Oh, you've heard of it.
Yeah, I saw some show on TV a while ago about diners, and this was one of them. Man, this menu sure has a lot of heavy food on it. And everything has cheese in it.
Well, this is Wisconsin.
I guess so. I thought all that cheese on TV was just advertising.
Little did you know. So what are you going to have? How about a 3-meat garbage plate?
Yeah, right.
They have a veggie version.
With 3 eggs? No thanks.
Hi, Jeanette. Did Mr. Welles let you out of your chains?
Florence, I didn't know you worked here.
Yeah, I pick up some hours in the mornings here. And where is His Majesty?
In Chicago, doing some commercials. And for a change, they have him locked in the recording studio until they can get them done.
Yeah, but I bet you're not here on pleasure.
Yeah, it's not a pleasure trip at all for me. I am taking in some of the local attractions. But yeah, it's a business trip. I'm checking out a potential client for Mr. Welles until he's released from Chicago. You know, Florence, could I just have a 2-egg veggie omelet and a piece of homemade bread and no butter?
Sir?
I'll have a 2-meat, half garbage plate, and that homemade bread.
More coffee?
Definitely.
That'll be right up.
You're having quite the breakfast.
Well, my energy reserves were depleted last night.
Shh!
Oh, no one can hear.
I don't care.
So what's on your schedule today?
When we get done here, I'm going to do a little research on that nun who was found drowned in Lake Michigan outside of Kemper Hall.
I thought that was ruled a suicide.
Yeah, well, this Madison Agostini is saying she has come across new information.
Interesting. Want to meet for lunch?
Lunch? It's going on 10 a.m. and I'm having this huge breakfast. Besides, I have lots to do, and I have that dinner tonight with Madison at 6. Tell you what, meet me at the Hobnob at 8. I'll make sure I'm done with that woman by then.
It's a date.
I finished breakfast and went to the library to do some research on the dead nun. The story goes that this nun, Sister Augusta, came from Chicago to attend a retreat at the seminary. That's what Kempa was back then, a seminary. She got there right after the first of the year in 1900. Then, the next thing you know, she's gone. And all that's left is her handbag, a crucifix, and her insignia of holy sisterhood. They called the police and sent telegrams to Chicago and St. Louis, where her family lived. On January 5th, a message came from the Kemper Hall that the mystery of the Sister Augusta had been solved, that Sister Augusta was fine and back in Springfield, Missouri. But then, before noon on January 8th, a little girl named Bertha Smith and her younger brother were playing on the beach at the east end of 65th Place, where they spotted a body wearing black robes floating in the water. They ran home and told their mother, and she called the police. Winds up, it was dead Sister Augusta. Her body was battered by the waves, but her friends were able to identify her. During the investigation that followed, they said she was acting strange on the night she vanished, which was all covered up by the bosses at Kemper Hall. According to the testimony, Sister Augusta had become mentally deranged from her work, which had been exceedingly hard during the last few months. She had requested time off, and it had been granted. So why she chose to end her life is unknown. Two girls testified that they saw her walking on the beach on the night of January 2nd, and this was the last time she was seen alive. They ruled her death a suicide, and she was laid to rest in her habit. The body was taken to St. Louis, where her sister and her family are buried. And now, of course, she's haunting Kemper Hall, like all the other dead nuns in that place. I walked down to the place where they found the body. Sort of a weird place to commit suicide. I mean, it's not as though there was a bridge or something to jump off, and there are plenty of towers and windows to drop out of. She was found face down in the water at the edge of the lake. It was winter, and the winds and the waves could get pretty bad. But still, what? Did she just lie in the water face down and wait to suffocate? I mean, if she was that deranged, she could have tried to go for a swim and the freezing water would have got the best of her. Weird. Hello?
Jeanette, you have to get me out of here!
Mr. Wells?
Yes, this is Orson Wells. Who else would this be?
Where are you?
I'm a prisoner here at this recording studio.
What? You're no prisoner anywhere. After all, you're Orson Welles. Just walk out of there.
I can't. She's locked the doors.
Who's locked the doors?
That she-devil from the very depths of hell. The very image of Medusa herself, Rhonda.
Yeah, okay. I had a run-in with Rhonda, too. But they can't kidnap you, for God's sake.
You have no idea. They barely feed me. I haven't had a drink in days.
Well, what did you have to eat for dinner last night?
They brought in takeout.
Takeout from where?
Carson's Ribs.
Half or full rack?
Well, full, but only one rack.
And what did you have before that?
Shrimp Dijon.
And I suppose you ate the whole bowl of coleslaw?
Well, I couldn't let it go to waste.
And what did you wash it down it with?
A bottle of Cabernet.
Only one bottle?
See? Men on death row are taken care of better.
Mr. Wells, where are you? Give me that phone!
She found me!
Get back in that studio. We have to redo that take. Who is this?
It's Jeanette. Who is this?
Rhonda.
Save me, Jeanette! Send in the National Guard! Send in the Ukrainian army! If they could deal with the Russians, they could deal with her!
Just get back in there! What do you want?
Hey! He called me! And what is taking so long with these recordings?
The last one had a gunk.
What's a gunk, do you mind telling me?
It's a bang from outside.
I thought you were brought in to stop those gunks.
Yeah, well, this gunk happened when he knocked over his lunch.
What did he have for lunch?
Hot dogs. 6 of them, with fries.
Chicago style?
Is there another way?
At least he's getting his greens.
Listen, I gotta get back before he finds another phone.
Jeanette, save me!
Oh, brother. I looked at my watch and thought that I better get back to my room and change for dinner. After I got ready for dinner, I got in my car and drove up Sheridan Road to the Hobnob. It was such a beautiful drive along the lake. I thought I'd better check in with Lenore.
Good evening. This is Lenore, personal assistant to the personal assistant of Orson Welles. How may I help you?
Hi, Lenore. It's Jeanette. Just checking in.
Oh, that is just so nice of you. Say, I got the weirdest phone call from Mr. Welles.
Oh?
He was whispering and said he was being held captive. I tried to find out what he meant, but the phone was ripped out of his hand by someone named Miranda.
I guess he must be desperate if he's calling you.
I thought that was strange, too. Should I do anything? Contact the police or the sheriff? He said something about the Ukrainian army, but I would think they're sort of busy.
Nah, that Rhonda is just trying to get those commercials done one way or another, and he's not liking it. I'm not sure about her tactics, but let's face it, Mr. Welles is a handful.
Don't we know it.
Just have a car ready to pick him up once we get word he's done.
Already ordered, and it'll be stocked with plenty of liquor and sandwiches.
Perfect.
Need anything else?
No, I'm on my way to dinner, and I probably won't check in till tomorrow morning. Late morning.
Sounds good.
I pulled into the Hobnob parking lot and walked in.
Hi, Jeanette. Welcome to the Hobnob. I heard you were coming instead of Mr. Welles. Is he okay?
Yeah, he's fine. Just a little tied up right now.
It'll just be you tonight?
Oh, no. There'll be 2 of us.
Perfect. I'll show you to your table.
Mr. Welles' usual table?
Indeed.
Thanks. I can find my way. I'm early, and I think I'll have a drink at the bar and take in the wonderful view.
Enjoy.
I walked from the hostess station back to the dining room and on to the bar. And, of course, who's behind the bar but Rodney? When did you start working here?
Hi, Jeanette. Oh, you know me. I show up anywhere there's a bar.
I guess so.
So, what is this about Mr. Welles being held captive in Chicago?
How did you know?
He called me. I could barely hear him, but he was begging me to send the Ukrainian army to get him out of there. There was something about a devil dog named Rhonda that was threatening his life.
Man, he just won't let up. If he would just get those commercials done, he would be here tonight dining with a potential client instead of me.
And they're starving him into submission?
Oh, yeah, right. Starving. That man is whining that they only gave him 1 full rack of ribs.
Well, you know, that's just an appetizer for him.
True.
What can I get you?
A double tangeray martini, 1 olive.
Up?
Any other way?
No, ma'am.
While Rodney mixed my drink, I took in the view. It is just so nice to sit at a bar, enjoy a cocktail, and take in that wonderful view of Lake Michigan.
Here you go.
Thanks, Rodney. Oh, that tastes so good. Really hits the spot. Say, Rodney, what do you know about that nun that was found drowned in Lake Michigan at Kemper in 1900?
Sister Augusta? Oh, just that her death was ruled a suicide.
Yeah, wasn't that a strange way to kill yourself? Fall face down in a lake?
I know what you mean, but there didn't seem to be any evidence of foul play. No bruises or wounds or anything. And remember, this was 1900 and they didn't have the tests and science that we have today.
True. Anything in the papers or local news about it lately?
Nope, nothing.
Hmm.
Well, why were you asking about Sister Augusta?
That's what brought me to Kenosha. A Madison Agostini called me up a few days ago. Needed to talk to Mr. Wells about this nun. That she had new information.
Yeah, I have no idea what that could be. Maybe she's working on a book or something. Discovered some new stuff?
Yeah, maybe. The whole thing seems kind of strange.
Does this woman know that Mr. Wells is held up in Chicago and she's having dinner with you instead?
No, I purposely didn't tell her. I figured I'd check her and her story out first with Mr. Wells stuck in Chicago. Besides, I needed to get out of the office and take a little trip. See some friends out here.
So, you called up Lawrence?
Yes, I called up Lawrence. In fact, he's meeting me here later for a nightcap.
Oh, you're having a nightcap here and not at your hotel?
Maybe I'll have two nightcaps.
Good for you, Jeanette.
Thanks, Rodney. I should get to my table. Send another drink over, okay?
You bet.
I walked to my table, the corner booth in the back. It was perfect. I could see everything and everyone. Hello?
Jeanette, help me!
What? Mr. Wells, I can barely hear you.
Jeanette, they're starving me. That Bride of Frankenstein won't feed me.
Okay, what exactly are they feeding you?
Fish, of all things.
What's wrong with fish?
How in God's great universe can a man satisfy an appetite like mine on fish?
You do have a point. So where was this fish from?
Shaw's Crab House.
And what did they bring for you?
Oh, lump meat, crab cakes, oysters, Rockefeller, a salad made only of lettuce. They're treating me like a rabbit waiting for some sick experiment to be performed on.
Yeah, okay, and what else?
Oh, I guess it was twin South African lobster tails.
And you washed it down with?
That was the worst thing. It was a Chardonnay. A white wine. It was water. Where are you?
At a restaurant.
In Los Angeles?
No.
Where?
Kenosha?
Kenosha? Of all things holy, why are you in Kenosha?
I'm checking out a potential client.
You're meeting this potential client at a local pizza joint?
No.
Where exactly are you?
The Hobnob.
I'm eating takeout and you're eating at the Hobnob?
There you are. Get back in that studio.
Jeanette, save me. Send help.
I'm not sending in the Ukrainian army. They're a little busy.
What possibly could they be busy with?
You know, you really need to read the news once in a while. Listen, Florence is bringing my drink. I gotta go. Let me know when you're done with the commercials.
Jeanette!
Mr. Wells still being held captive?
Yeah.
Here's your drink. Would you like an appetizer while you wait for your guest?
I really shouldn't, but then again, how often do I get to the Hobnob? How about the mussels meunier?
Excellent. I'll bring that right out.
As Florence walked away, the hostess was escorting a woman my way. I assumed this was Madison Agostini. She seemed to be in her mid-20s or so, longer hair pulled back in a ponytail, her longer pink hair, that is, and on top of that, she wore black long underwear? Leggings with some kind of baggy fleece top that did not quite cover her backside. No makeup, no jewelry, and flats. Yeah, Mr. Wells would have loved this.
Jeanette, this is your guest, Madison Agostini. Madison, this is Jeanette.
Jeanette what?
It's just Jeanette.
Enjoy your dinner.
Please, sit down.
Where's Mr. Wells?
Still in Chicago, finishing up a few things.
So he won't be here?
No.
Oh, okay. But I wanted to meet him.
Meet him? I thought you wanted to talk to him about Sister Augusta.
I wanted to meet with him and talk to him about this nun.
Well, you can talk to me about all of it. I'll update Mr. Wells when he's free.
Oh, okay.
Here are your muscles, ma'am. Would you like anything from the bar?
Oh, I know Mr. Wells always has an old-fashioned when he's in Wisconsin.
Yes, he does. How would you like one?
Oh, yes, just like Mr. Wells. Old Overholt rye and soda.
Coming right up.
Please, have some mussels.
Oh, sure. Thanks. Does Mr. Wells eat these?
As a snack.
Oh, then I'm sure I'll love them.
Good. So, how do you know about Sister Augusta?
Well, everyone in Kenosha knows that Kemper is supposedly haunted, and I'm writing a paper on local history.
You're in school?
Yeah, I mean, I have my bachelor's, and I'm working on my master's now, part-time.
Where?
Parkside.
What do you study?
History. I just love history.
What are you going to do with that degree?
I'm a teacher at Kenosha Unified, a history teacher.
Here's your old-fashioned, ma'am. Just like Mr. Wells drinks them.
Oh, how fun. I'm drinking just like Orson Welles. I can't wait to try it. Oh, it has a lot of alcohol.
No more than any other drink we pour.
And it's not very sweet.
Well, it's certainly not a sugartini. Would you prefer something else?
Oh, no, this will be fine. What are you drinking?
A martini.
Oh, what kind is just clear like that?
A gin martini.
Gin? I've never had that.
Really? I would have never guessed that. You really should have one. Mr. Wells always drinks them when he's not in Wisconsin.
Are you ready to order dinner?
I'll have the whitefish, that soup of the day, and a tossed salad with vinaigrette.
Anything to drink besides water?
Just a glass of the house Chardonnay.
Ma'am?
Oh, my. I've never been here before. Oh, they have ribs. Would Mr. Wells like those?
As an appetizer.
Well, he does have a hearty appetite. I just love a man who likes to eat.
Mr. Wells certainly enjoys a good meal.
I'll have the ribs then.
Toss salad. And let me guess. Ranch.
How did you know?
Lucky guess. Soup of the day?
Sure.
Anything to drink with dinner?
Oh, I'll have one of those martinis that Mr. Wells drinks.
Sure. A martini with dinner.
Wouldn't Mr. Wells have a martini?
Sure. He drinks martinis, but with dinner he would drink Cabernet wine.
Oh, I'll have a glass of that instead.
Any particular label?
What do you recommend?
Tell you what. I'll look to see what's good and bring you a glass.
Oh, that'd be great.
So, you were telling me you're a teacher.
Oh, yeah. And if I get my master's, I'll get more money. Who knows? Maybe I'll go for my PhD.
Who knows? And you're researching Sister Augusta?
Yeah. I just think there's so much local history here in Kenosha that I've been thinking of writing my thesis on something here.
Another mussel? Some bread?
Thanks.
I always found it so interesting that Kenosha might have been a stop on the Underground Railroad.
Oh, yeah. Who knew that Kenosha had a subway?
The dinner went on like this. Everything was about how she wanted to be just like Mr. Wells and about all the history she knew. Of course, the subway comment gave her away. But exactly what was her story? Finally, at about 7:40, I saw Lawrence walk in the bar. He saw me, smiled and winked, sat on a bar stool and patted the chair next to him.
And I just love seeing Orson Welles in those great movies and listening to those radio shows. He's just so talented.
Yeah, well, I know you have school in the morning, so I'll let you get going. I'll walk you to the door.
School? Oh, yeah. School. Yeah, I better be going. Do you think Mr. Wells will be done in Chicago soon? I mean, I'd love to pick his brain about this nun.
Oh, I'm sure he'll be up here soon enough. I'll call you when he'll be here. Should be in the next day or so.
Oh, that'd be so great.
Good night. We'll talk soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.
finally got rid of her and walked back to the bar.
Mwah! How was your dinner?
Long.
Can I get you a drink?
A Bailey's, Rodney?
Coming right up.
What was this woman like?
An imposter. I just gotta confirm a few things. But work is over.
Just what I wanted to hear.
The next morning, I called Lenore.
Good morning, this is Lenore, personal assistant to the personal assistant of Orson Welles. How may I help you?
Lenore, it's Jeanette.
Hi, Lenore.
Is that Lawrence? I would just love to meet him. Is he showing you around?
Oh, he's showing me a few things, all right. Listen, I need you to do some research.
Oh, I love research. Just tell me what you need and I'll be right on it. You name it, the internet, the library, City Hall, I'll be there. I love research.
Yeah, you love research. I want you to do some checking on this Madison Agostini.
Oh, I already did that. Do you need anything in particular?
Just the basics.
She lives in Kenosha. Graduated in 2015.
From where?
Tremper.
I never heard of Tremper College.
Oh, it's not a college. It's a high school in Kenosha.
Where does she work?
McDonald's. Usually works the evening shift.
That's all I need to know. Thanks, Lenore.
You sure that's all? I have her high school transcript, her credit report, her complete employment record, driving record.
No, that's fine, Lenore. Send the rest to my phone. I'll check in later.
Anything interesting?
Just what I thought all along. Just have to make one more phone call.
Hello?
This is Jeanette.
Oh, Jeanette. So good to hear from you. Is Mr. Welles coming up here?
I don't know. He doesn't get up this early. Listen, I need some follow-up information from you.
About Sister Augusta?
Yeah, right, Sister Augusta. Meet me at the Hobnob at 5 for a drink.
Oh, 5? Could we make it a little earlier?
Won't you be teaching then?
Yeah. What about later then? Maybe about 11?
At night? Sort of late, isn't it, for a school teacher?
Tell you what. I'll make this work. Yeah, 5 is fine. See you then.
You look like that cat that ate the canary.
Just another nail in Miss Madison's coffin. Looks like this case is all but closed.
Just what I wanted to hear.
Lawrence and I were waiting at the bar when Madison walked in. Same outfit, just blue hair this time.
Hi, Jeanette.
Hi, Madison. This is Lawrence Madison Agostini.
How do you do, Miss Agostini?
Have a seat.
Would you like a drink, miss?
No, Rodney, Miss Agostini won't be staying that long. She has to get to work.
What do you mean? I'm done for the day.
You worked the day shift today? At McDonald's?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Well, I certainly do. You are some kind of stalker that wants to do nothing but live some imaginary life as some kind of girlfriend to Orson Welles. You know how much that man loves a good mystery about his hometown, so you were going to use that to land some kind of hook in him.
That's nonsense.
Only your cover story had more holes than Swiss cheese. You didn't think we wouldn't check you out? A teacher that was busy on a school night? Loves history, but has no idea what the Underground Railroad was? Want to know your credit score or which jobs you were fired from? Or how you barely graduated from high school?
I'm just an admirer.
You're no admirer. You're a stalker. Just get out of here before I file a police report on you. I have the paperwork all ready to go. And honey, if you really wanted to impress Mr. Welles, lose the long underwear, the flat shoes, and the blue hair. Now go.
Remind me never to get on your bad side.
People like that just drive me crazy.
Hey, who's walking in the door?
The sun was streaming through the front door, so it was hard to see through the glare, other than seeing that a large man was walking back to the bar. Mr. Welles, what are you doing here? Lenore didn't tell me you were done with your commercials.
Yes, well, I did escape, finally. No thanks to you, by the way.
Oh, Lawrence, isn't it nice to see Mr. Wells?
Nice to see you again, Mr. Wells.
I know. And just why again are you in Kenosha?
I was checking out a potential client for you. I didn't know how long that Rhonda was going to keep you locked up.
What did you find out about the client? Worth my time?
No, she was a stalker after the great Orson Welles.
Oh, a stalker. How interesting. I never had a stalker before.
Yeah, well, this stalker wore leggings, fleece, flat shoes, and pink, and then blue hair. Besides, she could have been a serial killer.
Are you saying that I can't handle some stalker?
When it comes to women, no. You certainly didn't handle that Rhonda.
Yes, well, I'm here, aren't I?
Yes, you are. So did you rent a car yourself?
No. My dinner guest drove us up here.
And, where is this dinner guest?
She stopped in the restroom to freshen up after the car ride.
She?
So, you're here again for dinner? Two nights in a row, huh?
What's wrong with that?
Oh, there are just so many great restaurants in the area. Why go to the same one all the time?
Yeah, well, actually, I had some business here, and Lawrence and I are just finishing our drinks before we head to Delavan and dinner at the Lake Lawn Resort.
Well, don't let me hold you up.
Just then, the dinner guest walked up.
I'm back.
Oh, okay, that's good. Let's go to our table.
Mr. Wells, aren't you going to introduce us all?
Where are my manners? This is my secretary, Jeanette, and her, friend, Lawrence.
Nice to meet you.
I'm Rhonda. So nice to put a face to the voice.
Rhonda, it is nice to meet you. Did you finally get those commercials done?
Not quite, but I finally figured out how to get a way to get this old curmudgeon to give me what I needed.
Okay, we really should get to our table.
I figured Orsi here.
Orsi?
He just needed a change of scenery, a night out.
We really mustn't hold these two up. Long drive to Delavan.
He was going on and on and on just how much he wanted to come to the Hobnob when he found out you were here. I was bringing in food from all the best restaurants in Chicago, and all he did was whine. Horsey is just a big baby.
Yes, a big baby who knows how to handle things.
So I thought we would just drive up here this afternoon for a wonderful dinner out.
You're driving back tonight then?
Oh no, tomorrow morning. We're staying at the Stella tonight.
Oh, wonderful hotel. We've been staying there.
You know, Jeanette, the two of us really need to have lunch. We have so much to talk about.
Oh, I like you, Rhonda. You name the time and place, and trust me, I'll be there.
Okay, then. Let's get to our table, Rhonda. These two do have a long drive ahead of them.
Enjoy your dinner.
Oh, I'm sure we will. I'll call you in the morning.
Oh, I'm already hungry for that lunch. See you back in L.A., Mr. Wells.
Yes.
Well, what do you know? Mr. Wells is entertaining the she-devil. You'll never let him forget this one.
Oh, of course not. After all, I am Jeanette.
And this has been The Cane Shadow. Hello, I'm Jeanette. The Cane Shadow is created and written by myself, Steve Brown, and Michael Ostrup. As always, support for the WGTD Radio Theater comes from the Kenosha Law Firm of Aaliyah, Dumay, and McTernan, and also the Performing Arts Foundation, the Brown Ostrup Performing Arts Foundation. And also, I'll do that again, and also the Brown Ostrup Performing Arts Foundation, located in Kenosha and also in Salem Lakes. And also, we want to thank the Southwest Library and the Kenosha Library System. Starring today in the show, Kathy Zolke as Jeanette. Brett Hodak as Orson Welles. Mike Bovito as Lawrence. Naomi Wiseman-Zobler as Florence. Vicky Dumais as Lenore. Todd Eaves as that wonderful bartender, Rodney. Alyssa Rockwell as Madison Agostini. Anne-Marie Schmidt as Rhonda. Jill Jensen as sound engineer too and the hostess. The Cane Shadow was directed by Mike Ulstrup. Our chief production engineer and chief engineer for WGTD Public Radio, Dave Janzer. Our sound engineer, Chuck Janzer. And I did the recorded sound, Steve Brown, and I read that one correctly, as you can tell. This is live radio. Support for the WGTD Radio Theater comes from the Kenosha Law Firm of Aaliyah, Dumais, and McTernan, the Brown Oster Performing Arts Foundation, located in Salem Lakes, Wisconsin. And today we also thank the Kenosha Public Library and everyone here at the Southwest Neighborhood Library. For the WGTD Radio Theater and the 91.1 Players, I'm Steve Brown, thanking you for joining us today for The Cane Shadow. Hello, she is Jeanette.